Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Yud Aleph, and we're holding right here at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Yud Aleph. So we're going to go through now the cases that we actually had gone through rapidly in the Gemara right before this, because we wanted to find out why Rabbi Yochanan felt he had to change the Girsa, either in the opening Mishnah or one of the cases, because of a problem of a contradiction in the attitude of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in terms of Simchas Yontov. So the truth is, we already looked ahead at all of these Mishnayos to find what the overall machlokas were, so that we could see if there was a pattern of some type of Simchas Yontov stress according to one and not according to the other. In each one of them, we found a different way of explaining the machlokas. We're now going to discover, surprisingly, that nonetheless, in addition to that issue, there is a common denominator of how it is that they defined Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the various Isurim, in terms of Simchas Yontov. So it is not as if Simchas Yontov was not a factor, and there's an overall thrust, as we'll see throughout the sugya, about doing things, determining what a halacha is, legabi muktzeh, or legabi all of these other inyanim, in terms of whether being machmer on something will end up causing a person not to have what to eat on Yom Tov, and so on. So let's start from the first case that we had spoken about, which was, as the Halakha Mishnah begins, Beit Shammai omrin, ein notlim et ha'avi l'katzev alav basar, u'Beit Hillel matirin. So that first case that we spoke about, which again we naively had thought could be explained entirely in terms of Simchas Yontov or non-Simchas Yontov, that according to Beit Shammai, we're not allowed to move a pestle, which is really weird because, I mean, after all, a pestle is really nothing but a kli shemalachto le'iser, and if we're moving it in order to use it for something, you're allowed to do that at any time. Do that on Shabbos, it's going to be like, what does it have to do with anything? And Tosis is very bothered by this, and Tosis explains that what we're talking about over here is actually a type of pestle which is expensive, generally used for more professional type of grinding. And because of that, it would be not just plain kli shemalachto le'iser, but it ought to be a muktzeh machmas chisaron kis, in which case he's understanding that the issue over here is whether we'd even be matur using something with tzorach ochel nefesh on Yontov, even though it would actually be real muktzeh, even al ibn Rabbi Shimon. Halacha l'maisa, this is something of an issue, because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't come out with a clear psak on this. It is a machlokas rishonim, whether we're talking about even muktzeh machmas chisaron kis. He leaves it sort of up in the air. But in any event, we would have to find some kind of solution. Why in the world would there be a problem of a kli shemalachto le'iser? All right, so let's take Tosis's approach meanwhile, and they agree over here that, as we'll see in the Gemara, that if it was already used, it becomes also to be metaltal, in which case, again, there seems to be some kind of real serious issue of muksa. Beit Shammai omrim, furthermore, in notim et ha'or lifnei ha'dor san, this was the next case that we had earlier discussed, and you're not allowed to take a hide, you ejected the animal on Yontov, you not put it down in a place where people are going to be walking over it, which will prevent its decay, and is similar to Ibud, because it's like oftentimes part of the steps of Ibud. V'lo yag b'yena, ela im ken yeshu mo kezayah basar, you're not allowed to pick it up, actually, unless it has a kezayah of basar, in which case it would be okay, and then because it's really batel to the basar. Whereas Beit Hillel are matiri. So here too, Beit Hillel is matir. So the question over here is, again, are we were talking about muktzeh machmas chisaron kis, or were we talking about, are we talking about just the normal issue that we're talking about some other kli shemalachto le'iser? But the Tana says in the Braisa, look, once it was already used, so then Beit Shammai agrees. So basar, you can't just move it back to where it was. So the question is, again, what are we talking about over here? I mean, if we're talking about a kli shemalachto le'iser, then the only iser to move it over here would be, as we know, in a normal case, a kli shvilach bar yisr, you're not allowed to move it mechama letzel. Mechama letzel is a way that we refer to moving things just to protect them, but not for any usage whatsoever, or not because we need the place, so it's not, there would not have been any of the normal heterim to move a kli shvilach bar yisr, so then we would be matir over here just moving it, even Mechama Letzel, that we're not going to do. If we're talking about Muksamachas Zasan Kis, so then it's obvious you can't move it for anything at all. We were only matir it for the actual Tzarf of Yontif. So we have two different approaches on this as well. Rabbi, this question is always if you're talking about an Eli. It's only if you're talking about a Pesel, which is typically used for crushing grain. But if you're talking about a Tavra Garmi, you're talking about a butcher board, where you actually use it to break bones with and to cut, everybody says that's mutter. So that's certainly not a kli shemalach to l'yisr. That's what its main purpose is. To cut meat on, that's certainly okay. Well, obviously, says the Gemara. I mean, the Mishnah says Eli, doesn't talk about a Tavra Garmi. Why would it? Well, I might have thought, if it wouldn't have been for Abaye, the Ruah de Nafilu Tabra Garmi, Nami. Actually, he would have asered a butcher board, which is difficult to understand. Why would he have asered a butcher board? We're going to see that we're worried, and this is introducing this issue that we spoke about earlier. Once again, might you change your mind about using it and therefore be engaged in moving something that in the end turned out to be not necessary? We'll see why we would have that concern. So I might have thought that actually Beit Shammai would have said you're not allowed to use a butcher board because we're worried about your deciding not to use it. The only reason it told you about the Eli is to tell me how much Beit Hillel is ready to be matir, that afilu davar shemalach to l'yisr would also be mutter, kamashmalan, that actually Beit Shammai is going to be matir the butcher board, and ikedi army, that Abaye himself explained. Why did I feel it was necessary when you asked me? Well, obviously, Abaye, I mean, come on, it says an Eli. What I meant was, gentlemen, says Abaye, is I was talking about a Tabra Garmi Charite. I was talking about a brand new butcher board. Now, this is, you know, butcher board things are like really nice, you know, they use them as tabletops and so on. I mean, it's like a high quality kind of thing. The first time I use it, I make a mess of it. You know, so I'm using it and chopping things and banging on it and so on. So there I have a reasonable chashash that maybe you might decide, you know, I just got this beautiful butcher board. Maybe I'll use it as a tabletop instead of messing it up. Maybe you'll decide not to use it. So that's what I was talking about, that ma'o detema mimlach lo tovar alah, you might think that I shouldn't use it because I might end up not using it. Kamash malam, that's what it's aimed for. Wait a minute. Then what you're saying, Abaye, is not even really true. Because then what you would be saying is that Beit Shammai agrees about a brand new butcher board, and he would say, we are not choshesh that maybe you'll change your mind. The problem is that Beit Shammai has a lot of halachas where he is choshesh that you're going to change your mind. Now, why is this not one of them? Let me ask you, I'll bring you a couple examples. I mean, Beit Shammai lo chayesh l'mlucha, you're telling me that Beit Shammai doesn't worry about maybe you're changing your mind. And what about Vatani Beit Shammai amrim ein molichin tabak v'sakin etzel beima, v'lo beima etzel tabak v'sakin? But here we're talking about things that are, I mean, they're really not usur in any way. The only issue that's involved is tircha on yantav shelo letzorech. I mean, it's even less than the issue that we have over here. And nonetheless, Beit Shammai says, you know what? Don't bring a sheichet and with his knife. This doesn't mean that the sheichet himself can do whatever he wants. But don't bring the sheichet's knife and the with his sakin, or vice versa, bring the knife to the sheichet and his sakin. Again, why not? I mean, if it's far away, what are you doing wrong? Only tircha shol etzorach on yontev. Just in case you change your mind and decide you want another animal. Well, Beit Hillel and Beis Hillel over there also says you certainly can. Or another case similar to that. Let's say you've got the spices that you need for cooking on Yom Tov, and you've got a pestle, and now you want to bring it over to the mortar so you can bust up the spices and now have your pepper to use. You can't do that according to Beit Shammai, because what if you decide you are not going to use it? There's no problem. Now, here we've got two cases. Look, we had a lot of other cases as well, but over there, maybe you could say there's more of a getter of tircha. What about the question of the selections, you know, and the need to handle it, because v'cheshish, maybe you'll be in luche. But I mean, over there we had that primary problem of muktzah. So I can say, okay, added to that, Beit Shammai is going to be concerned that maybe they'll be in luche, and therefore the muktzah won't work out. But here we're only talking about tircha. And nonetheless, just on plain tircha, Beit Shammai here, we've got two cases that for no other reason other than you're going to be doing something that wasn't really necessary, we don't let you do in the first place. So why is it that when Abaye was explaining, well, you don't have to worry, even according to Beit Shammai, you don't have to worry about the butcher board, why not? Why is it different than bringing the spices or the shechet knife? I don't get it. So he's like, well, come on, it's not the same at all. I mean, okay, Ashda. Look, there's a very good reason to be concerned that a guy's going to choose another behemoth. You know, by behema bishlama behema atilim luchi, there's a reason. Because, I mean, any time that you're about to shech something, so as we saw before, there's always a concern that you don't like what you see. You know, you want a better animal, you want to look at something else, you're going to change what dish you want to have for yontif, you know? So over there, bishlama behema atilim luchi, because you could say, I don't like this behema, let's leave this one alone, it's kichusha. It's too lean, and let's go out and find a behemoth that's got some of Barnea's omega-3s, omega-4s. God only knows what he's into now. We're probably up to omega-6. I don't know. But in any event, we should certainly try to find something else. And even by the kedera, the guy may say, you know what, this is too much trouble grinding up all of these spices. Why don't we find another dish to cook that won't need all these spices, you know? So kedera asya, nishba kai kedera debo itav. Let's forget about this. So we're going to have to put so much work getting all the ingredients ready. Let's choose something that has not so many complicated ingredients. So maisi nakrina delo bo itavlin. I mean, it's like paging through your cookbook and finding something that's easier to make. And it's very common. Bashenkin over here, I mean, what are you going to say? The guy already chefed. He's got the meat that he's got to cut up. He's got the bones he's got to cut up. And he's saying, well, he's not going to use his butcher block for it. I mean, that's crazy. What's he going to use? That's what it's for. So given the shachta, the tvira kaime, I mean, what are you going to decide? No, let me run out to the store today on Yom Tov and get a cheaper butcher block. It doesn't make sense. Beit Shammai Omrim. The next case we had is that Beit Shammai says you do not put the R down, and Beit Hillel says that you do. Now, what's interesting is that there's a braita that says that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree, even though Beit Shammai says you can't put it down on the ground for people to walk over, that you would be allowed to salt meat for it, over it, if you're only salting it lightly, because you're salting it for tzli, and as Tosis points out, look, it's a big question whether tzli needs salt at all, and don't try to bring me a raya from here, says Tosis, that tzli does require salting, because it's just talking about what the minig is because it makes it taste better. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's halacha that you have to salt. But in any event, so the way that people would normally salt for tzli is certainly not to put on a ton of kosher salt in order to get things, to get the dam out of the meat. That's no comparison at all. It's basically just some tasteful salting. So over there, you're allowed to salt over the hide. You can say, but I mean, salting is literally one of the primary things that you have to do in order to preserve the hide, and that should be worse than putting it down in front of people that are going to be walking on it. So why are we being matir it? So apparently, because it's such a light salting, that it in no way would confuse people thinking that you're being moleach, and then therefore it's not going to lead to any kind of iser. You're not going to do an iser. Nobody's going to. You're going to decide this must mean that it's mutter to salt. And again, so in order to be able to have my yontif, and why is it good for yontif? Because again, if I'm worried about losing the hide, then I may not check in the first place. So Beit Shammai is also masking to the underlying concern. You know, the question is how far he was willing to go. Now, that was an issue that we ended up before defining because it's chazilim nizgale, that people will often use a hide as beach, you know, as a beach blanket or something like that. And that's why we're being matir. So the question over here is for tzli, that's okay. So here again, Abaya makes a statement that seems to be very obvious and unnecessary. Omer Abaye, this is only true that the Braisa is talking about where you're doing it for tzui. But if you would be really salting the meat for the kedera, for cooking, you're not allowed to do it. I mean, I know how to read also, Abaye, you know? I mean, pshita. That's the whole thing that it says over here, is that we're not choshesh because it's a light salting. It says tzui. I mean, what do we think? That you just threw in the word tzui? I mean, it's the only thing that allows it to make sense. Why do you need to point this out? No, Abaye is saying what I mean is that if you do it for kedera, meaning you're not really doing it for kedera, you're doing it for tzui, but you're the kind of guy that likes heavy salting. So basically, you're doing tzui, but it's more than normal for tzui. So it's kein kedera. Even that is awesome. Even though you're obviously not really putting down the amount of salt that you normally would for salting. There's an awful lot of salt. That's not what Abaye is talking about. He's saying when it says tzli, it means tzli the way most people like tzli, and not people that give a heavy salting for tzli out of taste, salt to taste. Tan Rabban, another issue that is similar to this, that we're worried that you're not going to do something with Tzorach Yontif if we don't allow you to do something else in order to avoid a loss, is what do you do with fat? Otzer fat, chalev. Okay, what do you do with chalev on Yontif? So, I mean, like this, you know, you would, whatever you would do, you would sell it to a goy, you would use it for melting down as fuel, you feed it to animals, whatever you do. But I mean, now, what are you going to do with it on Yontif? You can't do anything with them. You can't expose them to the air to try to prevent spoilage so that you try to cool them off, you know? Whereas Mishum Reb Yeshua Amru, well, no, that's not true. You could do something. I mean, yes, you can't do anything that is similar to preserving. But what you could do is you could put them down on what was as close to refrigeration in those times, you could set them down on top of yitedot that allow the wind to blow over them to keep them cool. That you could do. And Omer of Matna, halachak Reb Yeshua. So one approach is the Reb Matna says that's how we paskin. And ikri amri Omer of Matna ain halachak Reb Yeshua. We don't paskin that way. Now look, if it was the way that Rav Matna said that halacha Reb Yeshua, so then that makes a lot of sense. Because if it wouldn't not have been for Rav Matna, I would have said, listen, tziyachid v'rabim, you know, the Chachamim argue with Reb Yeshua, I need Rav Matna to tell me that nonetheless, in this particular case, because of the fact that he may not check for Kovet Yontif, if we don't allow him some way of preserving the chalev, so we paskin anyway like Reb Yeshua as a yachid. Okay, so then Bishlama, if he's telling me the halacha is that way, I need him to tell it to me, because Sakata Kamina, Yochid Varabim, Halacha Karabim, comes along with Mas and say, in this case, because of Simchas Yontif, Kamashman Halacha Ki Yochid. But if you tell me that Reb Masna came to tell me the halacha is not like Reb, what do I need him to tell me the halacha is not like Reb Yeshua? Obviously, it's not like Reb Yeshua. Pshita, Yochid Varabim, Halacha Karabim. You know what? I'll tell you, it's still necessary for the same reason. Because Malgatema Mistabra Taimei, the Rebbe Yeshua, I might have thought that judging by all these other halachas where we've taken into consideration the possible impact on your Simchas Yontif if we don't allow a proper follow-up, in which you're going to be afraid you're going to be losing money, and therefore you may end up not doing what ought to be done for Yontif. So maybe judging by the preponderance of those cases, if it wouldn't have been a Reb Masna that told me, no, not in this case, maybe I would have thought that, even though you're right, Reb Yeshua isn't that's Yochid, but judging by all these other Shitas, I mean, we should add that to Reb Yeshua and Paskin like him, even against Chachamim. Therefore, because the Ilo Sharita, if you're not going to allow this to put it on in the air, so Mimna Velo Shachit, and that'll end up destroying your Simchas Yontif, Kamashvan Afal Pike. So I don't get it. I mean, it just seems to be like sometimes we do care, sometimes we don't care. I mean, like, is there any hard and fast rule, or can we actually define the differences of the cases? We can indeed, as we already did because of Rabbi Yochanan. We were trying to show that if things are not simplistic in terms of, let's just worry about whether people are going to have enough to eat on Yontif. So we already explained. The Or Lifnei Hador San. Over there, Beit Hillel says you could do that. And yes, obviously, there's the consideration of the fact that if we don't allow you to do that, then you're going to end up not shechting. Now, we're not denying that as a factor. You see, we're saying this again, even though earlier we pretended when it came to Rabbi Yochanan, this has nothing to do with Simchas Yontif. That's not really true. It does have to do with Simchas Yontif, but it first has to be determined what the extent of the Isser is. So what are we talking about? Can we simply say that we weren't gozer, perhaps in things that have a normative usage that would be mutter? So maybe we're stammering gozer any mukta issues on Yontif or gezeiros that maybe a person will come to do an Isser of Ibud. And that is what we said before, namely that it's chazi l'mizgalai, right? So that's why, you see, nobody's going to jump to the conclusion, oh, looky, looky, these people are walking on it. Must be the Chachamim were masking that it's okay to tan it. You know, why would somebody say it's okay to tan it? I mean, people know that these things are used all the time for lying down on, for sitting on the beach or outside on the grass or whatever. So over there, it is not clear to people that they're going to say, well, why is this mutter? It could only be mutter because we're going to be mekel, because otherwise people won't sheft on Yontif. Must be that it's really mutter. I mean, must be it's not called tanning. No. They're not going to think that. They're going to think because, okay, obviously, I mean, it's a cooler because it's Roy, it's not really books, but in this case, people are going to say, oh, wait a second. What possible reason is there for me to be handling this chalev and to put it in the fridge, or what passed for a fridge in those days? So it's got to be that they are being matir, that I should be able to preserve this chalev. So if so, what difference does it make? I don't have a fridge, but I have salt. So I put a lot of salt on it. So then they might actually come to salt it and preserve it, which is an issue de raisa. So that we're worried about. So again, if we have a consideration that it's possible to come lead day iser, we certainly would not be moderate. But if we have an excuse and there are no reasons for people to come to an Isser D'oraisa, so then it should not be a problem. Omer Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Moleach Adam, Kama Chatichot, we're just talking about salting. You could actually, I mean, you're allowed to salt if you need to eat it, right? Because that's literally Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. Okay. Do you have to think about exactly how many pieces of meat you're going to be eating? Or, like, once you're doing the salting already, can you salt all of the meat that you have, that you shechted? So, moleach adam kama chatichot basar bevat achat, afal pi shein tzarech ela chaticha achat. Even though, lemaisa, you only need one piece of meat, but you're allowed to shecht, once you did the shechita, to do the malicha, because it's the same malicha. I mean, what's the difference in terms of your tircha on Yontif, doing the malicha for the whole pile of meat, or doing it separately? So that would be mutter, because it's one act. But Rav Ada Bar Ava did not do that. And what he did is he was ma'arim umalach garma garma. He felt that in order to be able to do that, you need it to be marim. Now, we're going to find a lot more about haroma as we go on. What haroma means is you create a heter by pretense. And then this is Shiloh, whether you need to do something in order to make it clear that the pretense was somewhat real. So let's say you take a piece of meat and then you say, you know what? I'd rather have brisket. So then you take the brisket, you salt the brisket. And then you say, no, actually, I think I would rather have London broil. Okay, so then you take the London broil and you salt that, right? So then that's called haroma. And what you're doing is that each piece is actually mutter. And what you do is that we say that you should actually try to be nene from one of these pieces that you supposedly changed your mind about. But we'll get more into haroma as we go. Now it's time for our Capitan.
Zog the Heilige Mishnah.
So, the next case that we have, again, we've already looked at these cases because we looked at all of them in terms of Rabbi Yochanan before, right? And here's that next case that we brought up, which is Beit Shammai Omri Mein Misalkin Et Hatrisin Beyom Tov U'Beit Hillel Matirin Af La'Achzir. So what we were talking about, if you recall, is a portable, it's not built, because if it's built, then we get into the problem of real binyan. It's talking about it's this portable box, you know, which you sell your wares out of. You open up the side of the box, like a window, and you let it down, and then you spread out your wares on the tris that you've let down. And then when you finish selling, then you put it back into its hole and put it up again. So Beit Shammai says, you can't even open it up. So you cannot take down the shutter on Yontif, whereas Beit Hillel says, forget about it, for sure you can take it down. You can even put it back up, because this is another one of those cases, which we're going to see, that we define them all as if you don't allow the end to be fixed, then the people are not going to do what needed to be done in the beginning. So we're matir, this is called matir sofan b'pnei trilatan. If we don't allow you to put it back up, then you're not going to be putting it down in the first place. So according to Beit Hillel, if we allow you to take it down and to sell, then we're going to allow you to put it back in. So when we're talking about trisin, what type of trisin are we talking about? Omar Ula, we're talking about trisei chanuyot. Again, chanuyot over here mean these portable chanuyot. They're not attached to the ground. They are these little stalls that people move around and they sell out of. The Omar Ula. Furthermore, said Ula, look, I can identify three cases where we were matir sofan mishum trilatan. Because actually, that's been a theme that we've been talking about until now. Because Elohim, the or lifnei ador son, why were we matir that? Because we're afraid if we don't allow you to be matir the or, so then you're not going to shecht in the first place because you're going to lose too much money. And then we have this case, which is the trisei chanuyot. And then there's another case that is not again a yontiv, and that had to do with chazarat retiya b'migdash. Over there, there was a problem if a kohen has a wound on his hand. So before he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, before Shabbos, he had put on this whole fancy dressing with antibiotic cream and so on and so forth, none of which you could do on Shabbos. Now, he has to do the aveda. If he keeps that bandage on, then he's got a chatzitza, he's not going to be able to do aveda. So what happens if he takes off that bandage? Can he put it back on again or not? Now it says over there that he can put it back on, and Ula is saying the reason he can put it back on is because if you don't allow him to put it back on, he's not going to take it off. And if he doesn't take it off, he's not going to be able to do the aveda. So this is another case of being matir, the sofan, mipnei trilatan. Rechava adds yet another case, Rechava, Amar of Yehuda, is off, by the way, who is Rabbi Yehuda? It's a very interesting discussion in Rashi Tosfos, because Rabbi Yehuda, who might be called Rabbi Yehuda to Rechava? I mean, Rabbi Yehuda is usually Rebbe, unless it meant Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was two generations later, but Rashi says Rechava ain't ever seen Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, so there's absolutely no way he'd be quoting Rabbi Yehuda's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. He's probably referring to his own Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda in Bavel, and the reason that he's calling him Rabbi is because it's his Rebbe. And so therefore, when he quotes him, to make it clear that it's nobody else, this is my Rebbe. Anyway, but whatever the case is, what it was Rechava said, I can add yet another case of Yitiru, the Sofer Lebnei Trilatan. And this is a very interesting halacha. During Yontif, the halacha is that Kol Yisrael Chaverim, we learned that out from the Pasuk in Chagiga, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. So that means that all of Kol Yisrael comes together in the Chag, Kechaverim. Kechaverim has a technical meaning, doesn't it? Doesn't mean only that they're friends. Means that they have a halach of Chaverim, meaning that you don't have to give them the Tumas Am Haaretz. So even if they're Am Haaretz during Yontif, they're not Am Haaretz anymore. And they're not considered to be metame. So we do this because if we would have maintained the social distancing and wearing masks, on the, in the Beis HaMikdash during Yom Tov, that would have led to a disaster with all these crazy anti-vaxxers, right? It would have been terrible. So because of that, we decided we'll just treat everybody the same and fine. Everybody's good, you're not going to be with Tommy. Now the question is, what happens after Yom Tov when you still have the leftover wine that these guys touched? Now yesterday he was a chaver, but now is he retroactively not a chaver? Or do we say, well, no, since he was a chaver when he touched it, so it remains tar. Anyways, big question over there. What the halacha is now, Rabbi Yehuda said, if you had started, let's say you are a chaver, you're selling wine. Now you have this wine out there and all these so-called chaverim, you're looking at them askance. Oh my God, these guys are touching my wine. Well, what can you do? I guess they're okay. But then the next day comes and now it's been so yontem. Now you're thinking back, all these guys that touch my wine, I have to throw out the wine. I mean, I'm allowed to sell this stuff. What should I do? So Rabbi Yehuda said, look, if you opened up your barrel of wine or you started this large piece of dough and you're selling it during the Isa during the Yom Tov, Agav HaRegel, so then the halacha is you can continue to sell. That's how Libet Rabbi Yehuda Domar Yigmor. Why can you continue to sell? Because if you wouldn't be allowed to sell, then you wouldn't start. So that would mean that we're going to end up without a lot of things that we need during Yom Tov, because people are going to be afraid, what happens if I don't finish selling it, and it's going to be touched by all of these people. So therefore, time is Rabbi Yehuda. You can. Over there, the Chachamim argue, and they say, B'chlal, it's considered the star during the Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, it becomes Tamei. But not according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Tainet Rechava, you know why? Because he tirus so fun, Mipnei Tchilatat. So it's the same idea, we want to have these things available during Yom Tov for sale. Says the Gemara, why do I need Ula to tell me things that are clear in the Mishnah? Or if they have to orsan. I mean, the Mishnah said serve a ferish, right? So why we just had that Mishnah? No, the Mishnah didn't say why. The Mishnah just said that. Now I might have thought, but wouldn't have been for Ula. I might have thought, you know why Beit Hillel says that you're allowed to spread out that or is Mishut HaChazil HaMizgeh HaLayo. And the idea of L'chazi L'mizgeh HaLayo is not dependent on the need to make it possible for you to shecht on Yom Tov. What about if you had some skin from the last week, that you heard from yesterday, you shechted Erev Yom Tov? Can you put it out on Yom Tov? I might have thought that once we made the determination that it's chazi l'mizgeh HaLayo, so then it's not considered to be aser. So what's the difference whether you shechted on Yom Tov? Therefore comes along Ula, and here's where we see clearly that even though we utilize that heter in terms of chazi l'mizgeh HaLayo, and we just use that to distinguish between other cases, but that does not mean that without the additional issue of itiru sofan mipnei tchilatan that we would have made that determination. So the Gemara before could have left you very confused when we were talking about Rabbi Yochanan's need to change in the Girsa. Because the bottom line is that we're certainly using this as an element. It's just that you cannot make any determination of a consistent difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on the issue, because each element also had the other elements that were involved. And therefore, how do you know that it was because of additional weight that was given to the question of the Yom Tov? That's all that we were saying about Rabbi Yochanan. But in any event, if it wouldn't have been for Ula, I might have thought that this is a blanket issue. It has nothing to do with Hitiru Sofan Mipnei Tchilatan Kamashma. And therefore, Ula is saying, listen, the only reason that Beit Hillel was matir based on the fact that it was Chazim HaMizgeh HaLayo is because of Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilatan, which means only if you shechted it on Yom Tov, so then you can actually spread out the hide on Yom Tov, because otherwise you won't shecht. But if you shechted it anyway from Erev Yom Tov, then there's no reason to be matir. Okay, that's fair. But what about the next thing that Ula said? Ula said, well, number two, that is only because of Itiru Sofa Mipnei Tchilatan, is the Trisei Chanuyot. Well, it says that in the Mishnah. Beit Hillel Matirin Af L'Achzir. Why do you think he's Matir Af L'Achzir? What does it even mean, Af L'Achzir? I mean, the point is you can even put it back. Obviously, I mean, the difference is Then I'm telling you, if I'm letting you take it down, I have to let you put it back up. I mean, so that's what he's saying. No, not necessarily. Because there's another way of looking at this whole issue. And here's where we finally get to the question of Yesh Binyan Bekelim or Ein Binyan Bekelim that we raised earlier. We're wondering about whether that's the correct girsa before. So I might have thought, if it wouldn't have been for Ula's understanding here, explaining to us that we need to allow him to put it back up in order to allow him to put it back, to put it down. So Tamayu de Beit Hillel, I might have thought, is because he holds there's no problem. And what he holds is that since Ein Binyan Bekelim and Ein Stira Bekelim, what's the difference if I open it? What's the difference if I close it? Binyan and Stira are completely the same. Either I hold there's Binyan Bekelim or I don't hold there's Binyan Bekelim. If I don't hold there's Binyan Bekelim, then it means Stira Bekelim, then I don't hold there's Binyan Bekelim either. So since what we're clearly talking about is not a building, we're talking about a box of some kind, a portable box, so then it would mean that a filo de button, this does not mean even if the box is a house. It means even if the box is in your house and you use it for, let's say, wine storage or something, right? And now you need to open it up. Whatever. So I would have thought that, no, the reason that Beit Hillel allowed it is because there's no problem. Now comes on Ula to say, no, there is a problem. We'll have to think about what that problem is. There is a problem, but we're being allowing you to do it anyway because of the need to supply people with things that they might not have had a time to purchase before Yontif. And that's why we're being matirid. And therefore, only chanuyot, only if it's for sale and not if it's in your own house. That's the difference. Kamashmalan, no, says Ula, this is only because of Yitira Sofa Mishum Trilatan, which means that it's only for purposes of selling Chanuyot in Debatim Lo. Now, what is this other issue if, in fact, Ein Binyan Bekelim v'Ein Stira Bekelim? So what are we worried about? So Tosfos says what we're worried about is something that is very common today, and that is Shema Yitka. Shema Yitka is where you have Kelim, but if you do things in a way that is makeba patish oriented, so you may put something in very tightly, and then that's not binyan v'stira. That's makeba patish. So this comes up very commonly. Let's say somebody's eyeglasses break. You know, so the temple piece falls out. This is an binyan v'kelim, so I'll screw it back in. No, that's the problem. Because of Shema Yitka. So that is basically what the problem would be over here, even though Ein Binyan Bekelim. And there we'll see that indeed, because of that, it depends on exactly how it is that these whatever you call them, matrices, shutters, I don't know what you want to call them in English, the trays, how they actually are put in and out. And we're going to get into the details of that. Like, do they fit in like, there's a difference, you know, where we have exactly the issue that the Gemara has is in battery cases. Now, there's two ways that the battery holders work in various appliances. One of them, you'll notice, has one place that you go in and then you close the lever to hold it in place. Others have two tabs where you put it in. And yet others have an opening where you have to slide in the battery cover, and then you put it on top. Now, that's going to be the difference, as we'll see, in the machlokas of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel over here. Obviously, the larger scale, because we're talking about a larger box, but it's the same idea. So, in other words, where would we be concerned with its similarity to really doing something that's tight? Okay, so now, before we get there, so let's just see the other case, which Ula said, which was putting a bandage back on a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, again, I do not understand. I mean, that is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Erevin that we had. Mazir Ratiya b'Mikdash Avalo b'Medina. Remember, we had a list of things that Chazal were not gozer in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of those things were that you're allowed to put a bandage back on the Kohen. Now, so why do I need Ula? Because it doesn't say over there that the reason you can do that is to allow the Kohen to do his Aveda. Remember, the whole context of the discussion over there in Erevin was, is there a concept of Shvut in the Mikdash? So since putting on a bandage is only a shvut, you're not actually preparing the things, which would be a d'oraisa. So I would have thought, okay, the reason that you're allowed to do it is because ain't shvut b'mikdash. And it makes absolutely no difference whether this kohen needs it because he's going to be doing avodah, or whether this kohen is just there looking at things. What's the difference? He's in the base of mikdash. That's the difference. So I would have thought without ula, the ma'adatim atayma mishum de'ain shvut b'mikdash. In which case, even if the kohen is not going to be doing avodah, it's not his mishmar, he happened to walk in, whatever it is, and I would have thought, okay, but since he's in the base of Mikdash, ain't shvut b'mikdash, kamash b'an ula? No. The only reason we were matir it is because this is another one of the cases of itiru sofan mishum techilatan, in which case the bar avodah in, the lav bar avodah lo, it's only mutter because he has to not have a chatzitza on his hand. That's why we were matir. Okay, but what about the extra case that Rechava added? The one about the chaver that opened up his barrel of wine to sell during Yom Tov, and now he explained that the reason that Rechava was being Rechava is because otherwise he's not going to sell, and then there won't be enough that's being sold during Yom Tov. I mean, that too, isn't that sort of a feirish in the Mishnah? It says over there, HaPoteach et Chavito, or HaMatchil B'Isato, selling during the regal. Rabbi Yehuda says you can continue to sell even afterwards, and the Chachamim say, no, you can't. All right, so what do I need the Rechava for? No, it's a totally different way of understanding this. The question is, this idea of Kol Yisrael Chaverim, does it mean that the basically, you know, we're being masvechad on the Torah, obviously, the whole thing is the Rabbanan, but does it mean that there is no concept of Tumas Amaretz during the regal? Or does it mean that we don't treat people as Amaretz during the regal? That's the question. I mean, if basically the Chachomim were never Gezer Tumas Amaretz regal, so then how would it all of a sudden become Tameh after the regal just because this person touched it? At the time that he touched it, there was no Tumah at all. So that, I would have thought that that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. The Ma'od Tema Tumah Samaritz Berego Kitahora Shavuot Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said, there's no Tumah there at all. So in which case, it wouldn't be important for you to have started it, and now we're only being matir for you to end it, because otherwise you wouldn't have started it. It's not okay whether you started it or not. Afagat Elo Yitchil Nami. It's not like I started selling it during Yom Tov. I was selling it before. Okay, it's been open for 2 weeks. Bottom line is, it was touched only during Yom Tov by Amei Haaretz. Maybe he's allowed to continue using it afterwards. Therefore, comes along Rechava to tell us, no, kamash malan. If this is another one of those cases, if he tears so famish from chilatan, and therefore it's only if he started selling. So then we know, oh my God, if we hadn't told him that he could handle it afterwards, he would never have started. Then and only then. Yitchil in, but lo yitchil? No. How come Ula didn't include that case? How come we needed Rechava to explain that case? Well, Ula doesn't talk about cases where there's a machlokas. Ula, I mean, over there, remember, Rabbi Yehuda was arguing on the Chachamim. He wasn't talking about Plukta. But Plukta lo kamari, he wanted to talk about cases that everybody agrees to. What? All of the cases that he spoke about were pluktas. What are you talking about? Every single case was a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. What do you mean the plukta lo kamari? Anach nami plukta nino. Yeah, that's not a real machlokas Beit Shammai. The makom Beit Hillel is not considered to be a plukta because it's basically an omission. We don't continue. We don't keep the issue open. It's not an open argument. Now, what we've been talking about, we haven't explained it, is the machlokas about these trisim is both legabe opening them and legabe closing them. But the Mishnah does not work out according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. It's a loki itani. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Modim beit Shemai beit Hillel shemesalkin et hatrisim b'yom tov. Actually, everybody's made it, you could take them down on Yom Tov. The only machlokas was whether you could put them back up again. So this is 100% not like the Mishnah in the way it's describing Beit Shammai Shita. Furthermore, says the Braita, Where do we have this whole discussion about these three seeing? Only where Yesh Lehem Tzir. So only where they have a Tzir. Now, the Tzir does not mean it's a permanently connected, how do you say Tzir in English again? Hinge. Doesn't mean it's a permanently connected hinge. It means it has that hole where you insert a piece that's sticking out that then pivots in the hole. So there, it is similar to the whole question of Shema Yitka. But if you just fit it in, so then there's no issue of it's being similar at all to Binyan, and there's no way to make it a Makiv HaPatish, and over there, there'd be no problem. Nobody would argue. If Eilan Tzir, so everybody's made it, you can put the back in, you can take them down, it's no issue at all, because there's nothing that I'm doing, ain't Binyan Bekelin. Well, wait a minute, there's a Braita that doesn't say that. The Braita says, Vamed Varmamurim Bisha Eilan Tzir. It's the exact opposite. That the whole machlok is Bechamei Betel is only if they don't have a Tzir, but if they do have a Tzir, then everybody agrees that it's Usher, even Betel says you can't put it back in. Amar Rabbi, there's no contradiction, okay? You have to understand that there's three different cases that we're talking about over here. We're talking about like this. If they have a Tzir min Hatzad, so if they've got a tzir on either end, that means you have to fit this thing in to two little notches. You put it in, and then it's held by the notch on two sides at the bottom, and then you put it up. That is similar to construction. So that is what the Braisa meant when it said everybody's made it. You can't put those back up because that is a real Shema Yitka, or it's really similar to Binyan. If they don't have any tzir, and they just basically fit in into place, and that's all, so then it's nobody holds it that's usher, even Beit Shammai holds it that's mutter, because you're not doing anything at all that's similar to binyan, and therefore, for sure, we're not going to usher that. The only question is, if they have a middle tzir, that's right, if you remember the way we discussed the battery compartment. So the battery compartments very often have a single tier at the bottom. You put it in, and then you click it into place on top. That is not a very strong way of connecting something. And so that's the question. So over there, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue if it has a tier smack bang in the middle. So Beit Shammai holds, look, I mean, if people are allowed to fit these things into the notch, they're not going to know the difference between one notch, two notches, whatever, and they could easily come to a matz of Shema Yitka. Whereas Beit Hillel says, listen, you know, either it is similar, it's not. I'm going to make a gzeira that people are going to come to the Shema Yitka. So in other words, both prices are really agreeing completely. The question is with a shir, with a tzir, without a tzir, are being used in two different ways. One is saying without a tzir at all, and one is saying without a tzir, meaning without a tzir on the outside, and just one in the middle. But they end up saying the same thing. So the first brisa, it says we're talking about one that has a tzir. And the second brisa, it says one without tzir, are talking about the same case, namely it has a middle tzir. So one calls that not having a tzir because it doesn't have the tzir on the sides. And the other one calls that a one with a tzir, meaning because it has a tzir smack bang in the middle.